I think the storm went over as they went out. We're definitely happy to have with us again today. Our neighbors live across the road. Leo and his wife Eva Abney. We're glad to have them with us. Amen. Praise God. We're the mowing men out there. He's the one out one direction, I'm the other, and we do a lot of mowing, don't we, brother? Grass grows. I told somebody, I said, I didn't think I'd mow one day this week because there's a big frost on. Thank God for grass that we can mow. Some people don't have grass. I didn't have any for a long time, and worked hard getting it on there, and Darrell even brought me up some dirt and all that to help me out, and I appreciate that. So it's a job keeping everything going, is it not? If you'll stand this morning, I'll read you a few verses of Scripture. I want to talk to you about the Queen of Sheba and Jesus. This is found in 1 Kings chapter number 10 and begin with verse number 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, or a large group of people, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and the cupbearers, and his ascent, by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she came to the king. It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Behold, I believeth not the words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. And also in Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 42, the queen of Sheba shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning, God, for every person that's here. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful and precious gift of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, that we can hear and be clarified and feel you so deep down, even in our soul. We ask in this morning, God, that you would help us, that we can and will continue to do your will. Touch every heart, every life, every soul. Lord, if there be one here that don't know you as their Lord and Savior, God, that you would convict their heart before they leave here today, that they would surrender and give their life to you in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Solomon was a type of Christ. He was a son of David, but there is a greater son of David from the lineage of David, and that is Jesus Christ. The Queen of Sheba represents a person seeking Christ. Her fervence is seen in Solomon, and should be compared to our seeking Jesus. Now, I want you to notice something is very valuable, very important for us to think about. Solomon was a great man, son of David. And the thing about him, when God asked him what he would desire when he's getting ready to take kingship, you know, most kings and leaders and all of that, they want silver and gold. They want all kinds of mansions and all kinds of stuff. But you know the thing about Solomon, he didn't ask for anything much at all. He just asked God for wisdom that he could rule a people. And, you know, it's amazing to me, because sometimes if we're not careful, we can ask something really way far-fetched, or we can ask something too small, really, in a sense. And this is kind of like he did, excuse me, in one sense, but still yet, God was pleased with him. And that's why he made him to prosper so much. But in Jesus' own day, the scribes and the Pharisees, they pretended to care about whether Jesus was the Christ. They pretended. There's a lot of pretense in religion anymore. Can anybody say amen to that? They could have been easily convinced that Jesus was the promised Messiah if they had taken the trouble to examine his credentials or see the works that he was doing. But did they do it? No, they didn't do it. Why? It's kind of like the complaining that goes on even here in America. Always somebody complaining and wanting to do something different. So they had the law of Moses, and they had the word also of the prophets and the testimony of John the Baptist and the miracles. They had all of these. Surely they could have connected parables even between Jesus of Nazareth and the Messiah, who he was, and the results that they could see. But no, they were too busy complaining. They were too busy rejecting him, looking for fault and all of this. Folks, let's never get to the point that we're always seeing the faults in somebody before we see any good. Let's look for the good in people, not the bad. You can always find something bad about somebody if you look hard enough, but also in the same person, you can also find a lot of good qualities in that person if you're looking for good qualities or good things in that person. But if you're looking for bad, the devil's going to make sure that you're going to be able to see it. But about them, God said, referring to these, he said, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their worship of me is made up of rules taught by men." This is found in Isaiah 29 and 13. So they pretend to want to know God, but in their efforts, they don't put enough effort in it to even prove what they're doing, that they are serving a living God. So remember, these Pharisees, they were very religious. We have a lot of religious people, but salvation is what counts. Can you say amen to that? Could we fall into the same category as these Pharisees did? Now think about this just a minute. Could we fall in this category? Could we allow ourselves to fall in the category with these Pharisees that pretend to be something and had such great religion, but what they failed to realize, the Savior was right there with them, and they needed salvation, but they couldn't see the salvation through Christ because they were looking at too many man-made laws. And believe me, there was a lot of man-made laws, and they tried to go by them. They read their Bible daily. They prayed. But it was almost of a routine for them. Their hearts were reaching up. Their hearts wasn't reaching up toward God. Their hearts wasn't reaching up to anything because, hey, they thought it's all right. So could we fall into this same category as these people? So are we really seeking God, or are we pretending? I believe there's a lot of pretending sometimes. A lot of pretending to be something that we're not if we're not careful. Now, I know the Bible talks about we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God, and a lot of people take that one verse of Scripture And they think, well, if we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God, it's all right that we just sin a little more every day. It is not all right. It is not all right. We may make mistakes, but I want to tell you, when we make a mistake, we need right there and then to repent and say, God, forgive me. I messed up again. And the good part about God, he will forgive us when we mess up. But we don't need to just keep messing up to see if he'll forgive us or not. Because I'm telling you, folks, hey, everybody stumbles, everybody makes mistakes, but the thing about it is we don't need to continue stumbling and making the same old mistake every day, the same old thing, and then, hey, well, God, I know God will forgive me, so it'll be all right. Well, you know what? There's coming a time that it's going to be a shut-off time, not just for you, but for me and everybody else. So notice the queen of Bathsheba, or Sheba, excuse me, not Bathsheba, Sheba, and Jesus. She heard and sought out the truth. She was assigned to us, actually. So now Solomon was a type of Christ, as I said. He was a son of David, and he was a great son, and he was a powerful son, and he did some things that even David couldn't do. Even David was a man after God's own heart. David gathered in all kinds of material and all kinds of gold and silver and different stones, the precious stones and all of this. And he had in his heart, he wanted to build God a house. He wanted to build it so bad, but God wouldn't allow him because he had shed innocent blood. So God wouldn't allow him to do it. But now the thing about it is, hey, Solomon was a precious man and God allowed him to build a house. So here's some efforts that the queen of Sheba put in. Now, the land of Sheba was located some 1,200 miles south of Israel. Now, it corresponds to the modern day, but still yet, 1,200 miles. Can you imagine that? Away. And she served that country, and she had soldiers and merchandise and all of this. And she came to see Solomon not regarding the danger that she would be facing coming to see him. She wanted to hear. She desired. That was her heart's desire, to hear Solomon, his wisdom. And she wanted to know for herself because she'd heard and she couldn't believe that he was really half what that he would, they had been telling her that he was. So she wanted to know for herself. 1,200 miles with all this gold and silver and all this stuff and precious stones that she had. And she could have been robbed. She could have been killed. She could have been taken in captive. And a lot of things could have took place. You see, in war, they like to take the king or the queen or anybody they could and hold them hostage and mistreat them and all of this. Even some kings, they would take them and they'd torture them and They would do all kinds of cruel things before they killed them. And then finally they'd kill them. But then lead them around like a dog and bow down to them like they was something and make fun of them and all of this. And this is kind of like they did with Jesus, making fun of him. But we need to understand. So now the image of Jesus telling the Pharisees, he's telling them, hey, your heart is far from me. You speak with your lips and with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. And this is what happened. They were far from God, and we can understand that. But it definitely fits us today. Can't you say amen to that? Our problem is that we're so troubled by our social media and all of this distraction things that we're seeing and hearing, that if we're not careful, we fail to focus on the one thing that we don't need to ever get our eyes off, and that is Jesus. We need to keep our focus on him, regardless of what comes our way. Whatever happens, hey, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, just like Daniel when he was praying. What did he do? He'd throw his window open, he'd pray toward Jerusalem because he knew that that was God's special place. So he would pray toward that city. And I want to tell you something, folks. We've got a city in heaven. It's going to be a great and a wonderful place. And we need to focus on heaven every single day of our life. And don't get so carried away and tied up with all of this gossip and all this downgrading and talking and all these lies and all this stuff trying to bring somebody down. Don't get so focused on that that you forget who you really are. Don't lose your cool and start mouthing and fussing and arguing about it. Hey, just pray and say, God, it's not my will, but thy will be done. God is the one that's in control. It's not Congress. It's not Senate. The Senate's not even our president himself. Hey, he's not in control. God is still pulling the strings. Can you say amen? He's our leader, but God is the one that pulls the strings, and we need to understand that. So, hey, when things get bad enough, God can allow the curtain to be pulled back, and he can let them see how awful that these things can be. And I got to get away from that because I want to tell you, we're all human, aren't we? However, we know of the one that's greater than Solomon. And he's the one that we're worshiping. He's the one that we're trusting in. He's the one that we're believing in. And everything is going to be all right. I want to go a little bit farther. For you believe yourself to be married to Christ. In other words, we're Christ's bride. Can you say amen to that? Or we'll be. We're going to be Christ's bride. When he steps out on the cloud, he's going to call us up. And there's going to be a great reunion time. And there's going to be a table set, and he's going to set it, and we're going to set it at the marriage table of Christ, because we're going to be his bride. You say, how in the world can he be a bride? That goes against grand, blah, blah, blah. It's a spiritual, symbolic thing. Don't get all carried away, right? Don't let people take that and use it against you, because, hey, God knows exactly what he's doing. So he loves us, and he communes with us, and he takes care of us, and all of this. And I'm thankful that we have a God we can go to anytime we need to, and we don't have to feel ashamed. We don't feel embarrassed or shouldn't be embarrassed, because I'll tell you, folks, there's some things that you can't tell people, because just as quick as they got to their cell phone or they got to somewhere on Facebook or whatever, they could smear it all over the place, and it'd be everywhere. They'd put it on Twitter and all that stuff. But I'm telling you, hey, we can go to Jesus. We can tell him anything we want to, and he will never talk about it to nobody. It's a confidence thing. And that's the reason why he's our personal savior. He's our personal savior. It's like having a personal lawyer. And our lawyer is sworn to not blab about it if you have to have a lawyer here on earth. But a lot of times they do. A lot of times money talks. They get under the table stuff and all of this. But I'm telling you, Jesus is not under the table. He's not one to take a bribe. And he's not one to let you down, because, hey, whatever he tells you he's going to do, he's going to do it. And it's all in secret, and it's all great, and it's all wonderful, and it's all mighty, and he's all powerful. And praise God, we don't have to worry. We just take it to the Lord. Can you say amen? So we can see that if we can tell Jesus anything, and he is so good. And you know, I love that, because many, many times people holler, they're my best friend. You know what? There's been a lot of best friends run off with their best friend's husband or wife. They're so-called best friends. Them are not friends. They're not good friends. They're not your best friend. Those are the devil in disguise sneaking around to try to stab you in the back, but they take what you have told and they use it against you in all of this. But I'm telling you, folks, Jesus will never use something against you that you go in confidence and talk to him about. So there's trials and there's results a lot of times in our sharing all. But you notice something. Now, here's what I want you to notice if you don't get anything else. I believe that our trials often come out of things that we do not take to the Lord. And you hear what I'm saying? Trials, results, sometimes, I believe, come out of things that we don't take to the Lord. Now, you can go in the Bible and you can find some places, and here's just one particular one. The men of Israel were deceived by the Gideonites because they had old shoes and old clothes, molded bread in their little pouches. And the Israelites said, it is perfectly clear that these men must have come from a long distance. Look at their old boots or shoes, and look at their old ragged garments that they have. And so they made a covenant with them. But here's the thing about it. And inquired not the will of the Lord. Now, folks, they didn't go and inquire the Lord. They didn't go ask the Lord if it's all right. They looked at the outer appearance, like the devil can put on one of the biggest disguises right before your eyes. And they looked and they saw their old ragged clothes. They saw their old shoes wore out. And they saw their garments looking so bad. And then they had some little pouches and had molded bread in it. Like they had really come a long ways. This is the way the devil will get us trapped. A lot of times, if we're not careful, he'll put on something to get us to feeling sorry for somebody that's deceiving us right before our very eyes, and we just don't catch it. Why? Because we don't take it to the Lord. I'm telling you something, folks. It's real easy to be deceived. It's real easy to fall into something out of self-pity, or pity, not self-pity, but pity for someone else. Just like myself. My wife said, will you ever learn? Over at the parsonage, I was mowing the yard over at the parsonage. Here pulled a woman in. She didn't act too sad, but anyway, she had a expression on her face, and I was mowing, just got through mowing, or just stopped to see what she was wanting. She said, a tractor just turned over on my dad, and he's in critical condition. They're flying him to Lexington, and my son has my car, and my purse was in it. Can you imagine women leaving their purse in their car? Well, it happens sometimes, but anyway. And she said, my money is in my purse, and he is gone, and I need to go, and I've got his car, and I need to get over there. Said, could you let me have $20? Said, I've got money in the bank. Said, I've got $30,000 in the checking account. Well, I mean, it sounds really good, you know it? And then she said, I pulled my billfold out, and she seen I had more than $120. She said, well, I may have to stay over there tonight. Said, I'm going to need some food to eat. Said, what about just letting me have another 20? I will pay you back. I've never seen that woman from that day to this one. Come to find out, there was nobody in Estill County that turned over a tractor, period. Nobody in Estill County with that name. So, you see, I was a sucker. You know what? I should have said, wait just a minute, let me pray. They got to doing that when I was up in Pike County. And this Baptist preacher, he decided, hey, we're going to have to break this up. So he was going around to the church and putting up a pitiful tale that his son was over here in Lexington. Of course, that's about a 3-hour drive, roughly. He didn't have any gas. He didn't have any money to get over there, and he wanted to borrow $50. So this pastor said, okay, said, I'll give you the $50, but said, before I give it to you, give me a hand and we'll pray. And he said, Father in heaven, if this man's lying, let him fall dead right here. He threw that $50 back and he ran, got in his, no, I don't even have a son. And he ran and that solved that problem. So see, if we don't take it to the Lord, we can get ourselves in trouble. Yeah, maybe we ought to pray that prayer. If they're lying, God, just let them fall over dead. Well, I want to tell you, in the Bible, there were some people that lied. And they fell over dead, didn't they? The husband did first, and they carried him out and buried him. It wasn't long. About 3 hours later, here come the wife. They had it made up what they was going to tell, so hey, she fell dead too, and they carried him out and buried him. Isn't that amazing? I want to tell you something, folks. There's something always out there. Like these phone calls you get, all this stuff, hey, all the time, trying to deceive you and lie to you and all this and trick you so they can get your Social Security number, so they can get your bank account number, so they can get something where they can wipe you out just in a matter of minutes. They can clean your bank account out, and they can clean out your, have your Social Security and all this stuff, your number and all this. So we got to be careful. The Bible says we need to be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a little dove. So I'm telling you something, folks, we got to be careful. So these people, they didn't even ask the Lord if it was all right. They just made a covenant with them. Them poor little old people, they're so poor, they've eaten molded bread and their shoes are wore out and all this. Let's just make a covenant with them. Well, I want to tell you, don't have time to get into that covenant. Maybe that's a sermon a little bit later down the road. But I want to tell you, folks, we need to be careful and cautious who we make a covenant with. We need to be cautious and careful who comes to our door and lies to us. Don't ever let some of these people in that's deceiving, telling you that, hey, my Bible reads just like your Bible. No, it don't. Some of them do, you know that. And there's a lot of good people out there, goes from door to door, and I thank God for them. But you know what I'm talking about? You got these Jehovah Witnesses go around and they holler, oh yeah, our Bible's just like yours. Well, they'll read a verse or two in the King James and it sounds just identical to ours, and then they'll go a little bit farther and there's a whole lot of things that don't even make sense. So you got to be careful, folks. Don't let those people in your house. Don't be partakers of them. They're telling us that, hey, there's not even a hell to go to, so don't listen to lies. Oh, there's no hell. We're in hell right now, they say. No, we are not. You're in the best place you'll ever be if you don't get saved, because there's coming a place that's going to be torment forever and ever, and that's a place called hell. There is a literal hell burning with fire and brimstone. And those people that are deceiving people, they'll be right there according to the Word of God. These deceivers, they're going to be in trouble. So folks, we need to understand something. We need to be cautious and careful who we believe. There's a lot of people out there that will trick you just to laugh at you. They'll destroy you and take you down with them, and they could care less. Finding. She came to find something, did she not? But not the half had been told. This is what she said. But I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even the half was told me. In wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded the report I heard. You know what? We need to understand this right here. She came seeking for something. Well, we haven't heard the half of the things that Jesus has done for us. We've read the Bible, we've studied for years and all this, and I thank God for all of it, but the thing about it, there's still the half has never been told. There's a lot of things that we can read about and don't quite fully understand, but there's coming a time. Our eyes will be fully open and we'll see a lot of things, even over in Revelation and some of the prophecies in the old Bible, that our eyes will be open, we'll see them for just what they are. So, hey, folks, it pays us to read and study for ourselves. Can you say amen? Now, notice Solomon's greatness. Solomon, his wealth. He was greater than she had ever heard. So she got more from him than she actually gave to him, because she brought a lot of this gold and silver and stuff like that. But notice this. According to today's terms, his yearly increase was about $40 billion in today's money. Gold was commonplace. All kinds of gold and silver and precious stones and all of this. And you know, it's amazing how that God blessed him. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for gold. All he asked God was, God, give me wisdom. Just give me wisdom to know how to lead these people. Well, I want to tell you something, folks. That's exactly what we need to do. We need to ask God for wisdom, because without that wisdom, we're just going to be out there floating around somewhere and don't even know where we're going or what's happening, but God is really good. So she heard about his greatness, but she didn't really believe it. Now, the greatness of Jesus Christ, think about this. Think about this, the greatness of Jesus Christ. When Jesus stilled the water, his disciples said, "What manner of man is this? For the wind and the waves, they obey him." They couldn't understand, what kind of man is this? They knew he was the child, the Son of God. He'd already told them. But then Jesus healed sickness. He drove out demons. He helped the children in his arms and blessed them. And he gave encouragement to the depressed, lifted up the fallen. And he showed mercy to those deserving judgment, just like we all deserve judgment, but he forgave us. And in the prayer of even the persecutors and all of this, through being rich, he made himself poor for our sakes. Through being the king of the universe, he humbled himself to wash our feet. He was Eden's tree of life. He was Adam's account sacrifice. He was Noah's ark of salvation in the flood. He was Abraham's ram offered in the place of Isaac. He was Israel's Passover lamb, providing shelter from the death angel when it came through in Egypt. He was Moses' rod when he went out to divide the waters. This is some of the things that he was and is. And he was a temple in the wilderness. He was Joshua's captain of the army of the Lord. He was Rahab's secret or scarlet cord, in the window. And he was Gideon's sword and David's sling in the stone. He was Daniel's lion tamer. He was the fourth man in the furnace of fire. He was Isaiah's wonderful counselor and mighty God, the everlasting Father, the peace of the Prince of Peace, and all of this found in Isaiah. I'm telling you, he is a God, and he is great, and he is wonderful, and he is mighty. Yes, he's got a Father, and I thank God for it. And we're looking down today at some of the scriptures of the words and the names that he had and was called and all of this. But he is still the Savior of the world. Can you say amen? So he was Zechariah's fountain for cleansing and the open house of David and hit all of these things. And he was Malachi, son of the righteousness, with healing in his wings. All of these things and many, many more. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is some of the things that Jesus was and is, and he's going to be our everlasting Savior, and we're looking forward to seeing him one day soon. Can you just say amen? He's greater than cancer. He's greater than diabetes. He's and leukemia. He's bigger than drugs and alcohol. He's bigger than the lust that torments us or you or me or whoever. And it's no fear that he heals the blind. No darkness that can blind you. Why? Because he is the one that will take care of it. I'm telling you, folks, come to the music. He is wonderful. He is mighty and he is precious. Paul said he's far above all rule and authority, powerful in dominion, and every title that can be given. Not only is he present in the present age, he's also in the one to come. He is wonderful. I've never found true, faithful love and forgiveness in no other. He's the one that does it all. So it's great just to know, even though the Queen of Sheba went all these 12,000 miles or 100 miles, 1,200 miles, all this on horseback or camelback, probably camelback and all of this, and had some people going with her to guard her and help her and keep an eye on her and all of this. So she was looking for something special. I want to tell you, I'm looking for something special even today. What am I looking for? I'm looking for a city. And that city is called heaven. That heaven is going to be a wonderful, great place. It's going to have streets of gold, walls of jasper, and all of this. Everything is going to be so beautiful and mighty, and we're looking forward to seeing that place, or I hope you are. Hey, I don't want to be left down here on earth. When Jesus steps out on a cloud, he says, come up hither. I'm ready to let everything else go and just head on out, because I know there's a better life waiting for me than one even here on earth. Now, living here on earth is not all that bad most of the time. But we have a persecutor, and his name is as a devil or Satan. He's always persecuting us. He's always lying to us, cheating us, trying to rob us, steal, connive us like that lady did me. Her daddy, a tractor turned over on him. Lord have mercy. She's liable to get one turned over on her. You can't never tell. Hey, God sometimes turns this stuff around. It's horrible. We don't need to be lying and doing stuff like that, right? Let's stand, would you? Let's give our best to the Lord. Let's give our best to him. He deserves our very best. Now, Sheba, Queen of Sheba, she didn't just come empty-handed. She brought gifts. She brought gifts to give to King Solomon. She brought gifts to give to him.